Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rocket Live. I am your host, Chris Vaglio, and I appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time today to listen to an episode of the Rocket Live podcast. As always, today's interview was audio taken from a video that I did with my guest. So three quick things I just want to let everybody know of at the top of the show. Number one, you can always watch all of the video versions of these interviews over on the Rocket Growth Agency YouTube channel, and you can access the link directly to this interview by using the link in the show notes. And also, while you're there too, please feel free to hit that subscribe button so that way you get notified every single time a new video is uploaded to the channel. And also, please hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening to this podcast. Number two, if you enjoy the show and want to help and support the podcast, two ways you could do that is using the link in the show notes and heading over to Buy Me a Coffee. And over there, you can feel free to buy me a coffee and set whatever amount that you would like or that you feel most comfortable with. And another way that you can support the show is you can head over to my merch store, which you can access through the links here in the show notes, and feel free to buy a piece of merchandise. We have all kinds of cool branded Rocket Growth Agency and Rocket Live merch over there. And every time you buy a piece of merch, you're not only supporting the show, but we also do donate a portion of the proceeds to local charities here in New Jersey. And number three, if you're a creative business professional right now that's listening to this and you need help creating a rockstar business and brand that will help you get noticed, feel confident, and bring in more clients, then I definitely want to talk with you. Please feel free to use the link in the show notes and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me, as I'd be happy to help to get your business rocking. Now with that, let's start the show. What's up, everybody? Hey, how are you? And welcome to another episode of Rocket Live. I'm your host, Chris Vaglio, and my guest today is just awesome. And I've been looking to speak with her for a long time. And so I'm really excited to have Chris Kosach on the show today. And we'll be getting to that in just a minute. But before we get into it, just some quick housekeeping here at the top of the show. I want to thank our official sponsor of Rocket Live, KerryZarb.com. Kerry Zarb is a podcast marketing coach. So if you're looking to get your podcast noticed, grow your audience, whether you're new at podcasting or, hey, you're a seasoned vet, but you're looking to take things to the next level, Kerry Zarb is the podcast marketing coach for you. And she has developed an incredible program for any level that you're at. So she's got the 7 days of simple podcast marketing, also your podcast marketing planner, any ultimate podcast and marketing planning guide. And you can get all of that by heading over to KerryZarb.com/simple is where you want to go. And all those links are in the show notes below. So make sure you show our show sponsor some love and support by heading over to KerryZarb.com/simple. Now, without further ado, I want to bring my awesome guest on. Hey, Chris Kosach, how are you?
I'm good. I was just buying you a coffee.
Buying me a coffee.
I got mine. It's cold and it's almost gone, but
that's all. That's
thank
awesome.
You so much for having me on your show, Chris. We have talked about doing something like this for a long, long time.
I know.
I'm excited to be here.
I know. I'm so excited to have you on too, because I would love to, I'll frame this up just really quick. So first of all, I got to be honest, I'm just a little bit nervous to be interviewing you, even though we've already done the show or two together, because now I'm like overthinking it. And you've got like this awesome career in like being an MTV VJ, and then this really awesome career in professional broadcasting and being a TV host. So, you know, I know I'm getting like, you know, I'm talking to a real pro here, as opposed to like, you know, this hack job setup I've got going on here with the show. But I appreciate you coming on and giving us some time. And real quick, I do want to thank Gabe. Hey, Gabe, how are you? Thanks so much for sharing the show out today. Thank you for all the love and support, brother. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on today. So this is really cool.
Anytime. Yeah, this is really cool. Anytime. And it's true. I've been in the room where it happened, but I am kind of the Aaron Burr of entertainment, meaning that I'm a footnote in a whole bunch of really cool things. I'm like a footnote, if I even got that. But well, I've been a lot of cool places. I'd love to share.
Yeah, well, you've been part of it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Gabe, wow, I'm nervous to be watching Chris Feckley. Gabe. You're amazing, man. You're amazing. So if any, hey, so real quick too, if anybody else wants to dive in and chat and comment with us, just do that and ask questions as we go here. This is a audience participation show. So definitely take advantage of the live nature of the show. And for those of you that are watching the replay, thank you so much for watching that, watching the replay with us. And if you're listening to the audio version of this, thank you for doing that as well. So just to frame this up really quick. So I met Chris on a, believe it or not, shocking, an online audio streaming platform, which I know people have heard me talk about before. It's called Fireside. It was released earlier, well, it's in 2021. We're in 2022 now. So it was released in 2021. And that was the platform where I started my other show that I do, the Chris and Amanda Show with Amanda Sharp. And we started doing a show there. And as we started getting involved in the Fireside community, mm-hmm. I met Chris through Fireside. So
really great people over there.
Oh my gosh, the best. I've met so many great people. But like without Fireside, you and I would have never gotten connected. And you are like totally like my soul sister from like, you know, another mother, because you and I definitely have this like connection when it comes to music. And like, I love it. Like you're just on and you go to like a whole other level with like the music and the knowledge. And I could talk to you forever about this stuff. So I think that's why you and I like bonded so quick over everything, because you definitely have the acumen of rock and roll history for sure.
Well, thank you, as do you, brother. But I just to illustrate the point a little further for your audience, there have been so many times when Chris and I were in one of these live streaming rooms with, I don't know, 8 people, 20 people, and he and I, like, he'll trigger me, I'll trigger you, and then we just like, blah, 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 and then you stop to breathe, and it's like crickets.
Yeah.
Like we've lost everybody.
Complete crickets. And so many times too, I feel like all those times always happen when it's like I'm driving in the car and I'm like, oh, I want to chime in, and I got to like figure out like how to get the audio sort of work in the car so it doesn't all like sound weird. And because you're like going on and it's like, oh my God, I've totally got something to contribute to this. Because you're like, does anybody have anything they'd like to contribute? I'm like, I can't get up there fast enough.
Or the time I did an entire Q&A with you in mind and you were unable to get there.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, and that's a great segue, because you also, on top of everything else that we just quickly discussed, and we'll dive into this a little bit more. And I know Gabe's got a question. So Gabe, we'll definitely get to that. But you also have a really, really cool podcast called Tex Pros and Rock and Roll. And
thank you.
I am now like getting like super addicted to that podcast, because it's like every topic as I scroll through the episode, I'm like, oh, yep, I got to listen to that. Oh, yep, I got to listen to that one. Oh, this one's awesome. Like, because, you know, you just you find like all the right like kinds of like, I guess it's just the similarity and interest in music. Like, I like the Carpenters, but I love Question Mark and Mysterians. And I'm like, oh, well, look at that. She has an episode on the Carpenters. She has an episode, an interview with Question Mark and Mysterians. You know, then there's the whole the book with the emo and punk. And it's like that. And that was the Q&A I missed. And that was an awesome interview. So it's you are reading my brain as you're making these episodes.
You're my audience. You're my audience.
I'm totally your mark when it comes to that.
No, that's great. Actually, it's a good problem to have, but I talked to my producer, Shar, and we started to scratch our heads like, okay, we got to pace ourselves, because we have women in punk. Then we have Dan Ozzie talking about punk going commercial. Then mm-hmm. we have Richard Hell from television, who is a founding father of New York punk.
Right.
And we're like, Carpenters, let's put the Carpenters in there, because we pride ourselves on being a multi-genre, right? Running the gamut. So we are actually looking to tell the story of Zydeco, or tell the story EDM. We're starting to like dig deeper for that stuff too. But hey, this brings me to a good segue about booking people. You know, it's not easy all the time to get people. I mean, you get, I've gotten your rock stars who have kind of, their people have yanked my chain, so to speak, to get them on platforms I'm associated with. Mm-hmm. I get them on and then crickets, you never hear from them again. It's been very, very frustrating, but I feel the pain of any podcaster that is out there because you're doing it alone where for 100 years, there has been a team of no less than, I don't know, 15, 20 people up to 500 people trying to make a production happen. And now we're everything. So it's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy, you know, and booking guests is that, and I have a friend of mine who I've done another podcast with in the past. My friend Victor, we've done a Galaxy Geeks podcast for years and years and years. We did that until finally we had to take a hiatus from it. But he does a music podcast as well called Signals from Mars. And he's much more involved in the metal and hard rock world of things. And he's always trying to get interviews with guests and bands and members, and he does okay, but some of the more like names he's had, and if he's listening, I'm sure he'll chime in, but he has some great nightmare stories about, you know, trying to book guests and people not showing up and all kinds of like crazy stuff when it's like, hey, we're here live on the air, and then the guest just decides they're just not showing up for the interview. It's kind of like okay, like when I'm supposed to be.
That's so the worst. Yeah.
Oh, there he is, he just checked in.
Did he really?
Yeah,
oh,
here we
that's
go.
The
yeah.
worst. We could do a whole episode on that.
yeah nothing worse than trying to get guests and having them ghost you. Yep, he's got plenty of stories. I'm sure you guys could trade lots of war stories.
Oh my god, it's Victor, did you ever get the rock star or the celebrity who gives you the yep and the nope answer? That's all you get is the yep and the nope and the staring you up and down. Ugh, it's the worst.
It is the worst. That is absolutely the worst. I'm sure he's gotten plenty of that because he's definitely done a lot of interviews over the years, and you know, and he does a lot of research. And I know that's the other thing too, is like you do a lot of research because you want to have great conversations. You want to ask some of those questions that maybe they don't always get, you know, asked all the time, because it leads to like a really interesting conversation about like this artist and what they're about and how they do what they do, why they do what they do, what makes them tick, you know. And that's the stuff that I love hearing, you know, hearing like the real person, not sort of like the canned like PR marketing answer.
I know. And you know what I'm finding though? I'm finding when it comes to booking guests, when we first came out of the gate, right before the pandemic. So I mean, we trudged along in the beginning. So I would say almost 2 years ago we started and we were going for the big guys at the time. Right. We really were. And we got a couple like decent sized people who have big cult followings. And then it kind of got quiet there for a while. But we've landed in this area where music journalists love us and artists who haven't been really active still love us. And then we've gotten, you know, fan mail from people saying that they appreciate the fact that we are telling the stories that haven't been told a million times. Right. I think you might have even said that to me once. So we've kind of landed there, and that's what we've been sticking with. But every now and then you do kind of have to have a name in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps, you know, and that's part of the, you know, the allure of like, oh, that's cool, I'd like to list, because a lot of times that's the episode that brings people to the actual podcast, like the whole show, and be like, oh, well, if they discover that episode because of this name, now maybe they're more apt to check out some of the other episodes of the podcast that they normally may not have even thought of looking for, you know, because there's so many podcasts, right? I mean, it is a gigantic ocean of podcasts, and to find ones that you like and you enjoy is kind of a struggle, you know, because there's gold out there, but you gotta listen to a lot of podcasts. You listen to things and you take a chance here and there, but that's it. When you have that name, sometimes it's the thing that's like, oh, it's like the light and the magnet that brings you to like a certain show.
Yeah. You know, I also do a indie curated hour show for a British radio station. Actually, I'm starting to play it here in the US too a little bit, but I do this curated thing, and I'm getting some attention and love from some indie artists because they're feeling the same thing. You know, you've got to go into the deep, deep water of music. And a lot of it is just kind of trite and been there, done that, derivative. Yeah. And then some of this stuff is just like, wow, there's really breaking some ground here.
Yeah.
But they don't have a huge following on Instagram or whatever, but they did it themselves and they're great. So, you know, I mean, I like to think of us as indie musicians. How's that?
I like that. That's good. That's a good analogy. I like that a lot. It's true. I mean, it's very, the parallels are there for sure. You know, it's really not too much different other than the fact, hey, well, they're writing music, but we're still producing content as well. You know, whether whatever kind of talk or entertainment, whether it's entertainment or just discussion, but whatever it is, I mean, you're still doing it, you're putting it out there. It's still very much a DIY attitude, you know? And so whether it's you're out there making music or you're, you know, doing things like this, you're still imploring the indie and DIY mentality to exactly. get it out there for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what is this
so
comment
Victor
here?
Is saying, or so a continuation of, what you were saying about guests ghosting, and saying, yep, nope. So he said, or you have your interview focused on a period of time in an artist's career. And then they tell you, well, this is what that was about. And I'm not going to answer anything else about that. My time in that band, 20 questions wrapped up in 17 seconds.
That's terrible. Oh my gosh. That they would do that to you. Ugh. That stinks. I guess you just have to be ready for anything, you know? Yeah. I mean, I have an artist that's coming up in the not too distant future. I don't know if I'm going to get a zinger from that person, but I am. Yeah. I am not the interviewer who will have somebody on with a book and have my intern read the book for me. Yeah. I read the book. I actually read the book. I've had a couple of people say to me, oh my God, you actually read this thing. And I said, well, actually, it was Nancy Burrell, whose husband was in SSD. Yep. And I said something, and she said, you read my book. And I said, can you really tell when people have read it? And she goes, yeah, and most people don't.
Yeah.
And so I really do try to pride myself on that. But that's why we've kind of slowed down on the books, because I don't – if these artists are going to give you their time – but I'm going to be respectful and do my homework. And there's just too many BSers out there with oh, you know what I always go to? For a while there, I was an entertainment reporter. You know that.
Yeah.
And I'd be on the red carpet at like the Grammys, and the dumb girl next to me would say, who are you wearing? And who are you excited to see tonight? And, you know, isn't this fabulous and wonderful to see you? And just all this generic nonsense. And they wouldn't even know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, it just sickened me a little bit, and they just don't do their homework. And I don't know why, but then again, these are the big, huge, you wonder why the big, huge celebrities get frustrated with the media. And I think that that's why, because there's a lot of disingenuous media types out there as well, you know?
Yeah. No, and I agree. I mean, I think that there's quite a few people out there that just don't do the homework or the prep work, you know, and then therefore you just get these kind of like vapid kind of questions that are like directed. I mean, they're just so general, and it's just like, how many times can you keep saying those things? And they just, you know, they don't know who you are. They didn't take the time to learn. And yeah, I could definitely see where the annoyance comes in.
Yeah, for sure.
So Gabe's got a great question. I think this is a good way to segue into some of the stuff that we talked about at the top of the show. Gabe's asking, so Chris, what was your big break in getting into the entertainment industry? Because now from what I know and from what you've shared with me, I think that your first or one of your first gigs was landing a spot as a VJ at MTV2.
It was. There's a good story there. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it. I'm sure Gabe would like to, too.
All right. So, you know, that old adage, you know, where a window's closed, a door is open or something like that, right? So I had been slugging it as a radio DJ, an alternative radio, for a couple of years. Not actually, in hindsight, I look back and it was about a 4-year span, which is nothing really. But I had gone from Modesto to Reno to Omaha to St. Louis in 4 years.
Wow.
And I know. And I was hired to be on the air in St. Louis as part of a morning show. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of months of landing there, a television show in Los Angeles had asked me to come be on that national network, that national magazine coffee show, and represent St. Louis. I had lived in St. Louis for 3 months, but what an honor. Of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this went over too well with the morning crew that I was with, because they were both from St. Louis. Mm. And they're great broadcasters. They really are. But my boss said, go for it. I'm like, okay. So I did. And I was the only one that was asked. So it was take it or leave it. Do it or pass. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like bring my people with me. It wasn't like that at all.
Right.
So I did it. I loved it. There was a little hullabaloo about it when I got back to the station. Unfortunately, either as a result of or simultaneously, there was chemistry problems with me in the morning show. Mm-hmm. The truth is, and I don't blame them in hindsight now, in my old age, old wisdom, I don't blame them. I think that there should have been more chemistry tests before we went in there, because right. we have massively different ways of doing a show. I'm a big queen when it comes to, I'm big queen, that sounds terrible. I'm the queen of prep. I think prep is really important, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my team kind of didn't see it that way. They were very talented and thought, wing it. You start prepping at like 5 o'clock in the morning for a 6 o'clock show. Mm-hmm. And you're out the door at 10:30. And I was like, no, you get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, but you leave at 2 p.m. in the afternoon and have it all teed up for tomorrow.
Right.
So we really had this fundamental difference. And then there was this television thing, and it was ugly. And the only time in my life I ever threw up my hands and said, I quit, was then.
Oh, wow.
And I regretted it. And I kind of like wanted to stuff it back in my mouth, but the cat was out of the bag. And I went back to my boss and I said, I don't know what to do. I've moved here for this, you know, it sucks. And he really had a heart. And so did another executive. Some people didn't in the building at all. They're like, move on, good riddance to her. But my boss said, and I'll say his name, Alex Luke, who is now at Amazon, I think. He's been at all these big companies. He said, I know someone at MTV and you should apply. Well, to answer the question that was on the docket, I watched MTV, I monitored it. I put together a tape and a resume like you would in radio, but I did a video version of it. Sent it to MTV in a super tricked out package. And this was my secret sauce. It was good timing. And I had no idea that they were launching MTV too. Mm-hmm. But my package would have arrived like the first week of July. And they hired me like the second week of July.
Oh,
they
wow.
Like bring me out.
Holy smokes.
I was on the table when they said, we need talent. Oh, well, look at this one. And they went, wow, that's pretty good. Okay, bring her in.
Man, timing is everything, right?
Yeah, really. So that was great. That was my first big break. And MTV2 wasn't seen by too many people at all, but they did do a crossover and make it kind of a show on MTV proper. And then I worked with MTV Radio and did some streaming for Viacom. This is in the late 90s. So it was very, very, very early. So that's how I hopped into it. And after getting laid off a year or so later, it was painful, but I realized again in my old wisdom that when you're laid off, other people are laid off, and then there becomes this diaspora of talented people out there. And now you know people at ESPN, and you know people at ABC, and you know people at, right? And that's what happened. I ended up getting a job with another man who had been laid off in San Francisco, and I got a husband out of it. Yay.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, that's great. I mean, that's a really great story, because, and I think that is, you know, for everybody watching and listening too, I think that there's a lot to be learned from, you know, the story that you just told, because, and it's a lot of the age old, like, you know, all you got to do is do these things. But the thing is, the thing that makes it unique is that most people, and you know this, most people don't take the effort to do the things. Now, that doesn't mean even if you do have all the steps that it's going to work out. But the thing is because you do those things, you never know what kind of opportunity you've set into motion. And it may not be that opportunity today that you originally were going for. And in this case, it did work out. But just because you did that, and if it didn't work out, who knows what else that would have led to. And that's why you have to do the things. Like you did the homework, you know, you put the time in, you did the research, you put together a good presentation, you know, you put time and effort into that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, yeah, the timing was everything, but you know, what you did on air, like okay, this is great, let's hire her. But if they popped that tape in and you sucked, like, well, maybe they just would have, maybe you wouldn't have gotten the call. So, you know, it's really important to say, like, whatever it is you're doing, like, you have to put the time and effort into making it look the best you can do to then be able to get the opportunity. And you may not always get the first hit, but mm-hmm. it's what comes after it that matters as well. Yeah, and right. I think that that's a really important thing to take away from your story. We all know there's no such thing as luck, right? We make our own opportunity here. And the thing is like, it's again, you could have done all that and the timing is right. But if you didn't do a good job, or if like you didn't put the time and effort into making something good and quality, chances are that you may not have even gotten that call, regardless of the timing, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that that's an important thing to take away from everything that you were just talking about.
You know, I want to add one more thing to that. And I had it in my mind at some point. First of all, they say it's who you know in entertainment, right?
Right. It's everything in business. It's your network. It's your relationships. Right. Like that's what it is. That's how you, to me, that's the cornerstone of doing business or anything in life, right. It's the people you know. It's the relationships you make.
Exactly. And you just got to get to know people. But I wanted to add this one nugget, if I may. I started to realize somewhere along the line of having, I did the work. I knew I was ready. I was my best self. And I just wanted to, you know, cast my line in as many directions as possible. But for whatever reason, and this is before data was such a buzzword on our lexicon, I just thought, okay, I got it in my brain. This is a statistical certainty that I'm going to get a job. Statistical certainty, right?
Right.
So what I'm going to do is, thanks, Gabe. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do things in hundreds. Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember being in New York and seeing this girl go to a mailbox, and she had this huge stack of, I don't know what that size is, those business size envelopes. She had a huge stack. And she was putting all these things in. I know what she was doing. She was an actress putting headshots and resumes in the mail, right?
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I thought, ding, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it with the number 100. So when I was looking for a new agent, I put together headshots and resumes, 100. And I thought, let's see what percentage I get back. And I got about 8%. Eight responses from people willing to either talk to me or consider me, right? I'm like, okay, all right, 8, that's where I am. And so ever since then, and that was a long time, I was in my 20s, I've always kind of had it in my brain to do things by the 100, you know? Right. So like our podcast, I'm going to do 100 and see where we are. And I tried writing a novel a few years ago. I put out 100 queries for this book that never went anywhere, but I did get about 12% feedback mm-hmm. from people saying that they were interested and wanted to see more, but I just shelved it and moved it on. But I think that people give up because they think, I'm going to put it out there, and if I don't get anything, I'm done. But you can't. Right. You've got to think, maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get 10% feedback. 10%. Yeah. And that's pretty damn good. 8 to 10% is pretty damn good feedback.
It is. It is very good. And it just becomes a law of averages or the numbers, right? You're playing the numbers game. Same thing in like sales and business development. It's like, if I make 100 phone calls, if 10% of them actually pick up and take the meeting with me, that's really good. That's really good. And you could pretty much, as you just said, you can apply that to pretty much anything. I mean, as long as you're, you know, you're putting it out there. And that's the thing. If your expectation should be in that, I mean, if you do more than that, hey, that's great. Like, that is tremendous, but really the reality of it is it's really going to be in that 10%, 8 to 10% kind of a range for sure. But you got to put them out there. You know, you have to do the work like that. And that's just how it goes. I mean, people don't always see things. They don't always notice things. And, and you just have to plant a seed sometimes. And yeah, and the timing's a little bit, but this is where relationships come in, and leveraging the relationships that you spent time, you know, really cultivating and really getting to know people. And that's when, you know, and when you start to then begin to ask for help from those relationships, that's when you can get some really great things happening, you know? And I think people a lot of times forget to just ask. I think your people are sitting around waiting for it to happen. But, you know, one of two things are, is that, you know, people have busy lives themselves, and I hate to break it to you, as good as friends as we all are with everybody, they're not always sitting around waiting for your call, and they're not always thinking about you. And it's not that they don't like you. It's just because they're living their lives. So if you think everybody you know in your world is just sitting and thinking about you all the time, that's not the case at
all. That's right.
You know, and
like that.
Right. And people want to be asked. Like, if you have a relationship with them, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. As long as you're not like a mooch, you know, and you're just constantly like asking and never giving, you know, it's a give and take, you know, you gotta be willing to give as much as you're willing to receive. And so, you know, you have to keep that always in mind, but, you know, think about the people in your life and the things that you're trying to accomplish out there. And a lot of times it's just as easy as just asking. That's really it.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah. So Gabe's checking back in. The things is that having the right 10% to connect can change everything. Yep.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That is true too. You got to be strict. You can't just, you know, open the phone book.
Yeah.
I mean, that might work too, but
right.
For somebody, but yeah, you kind of got to do your homework once again and be fearless. Do your homework, be fearless. That's it.
Yep. Absolutely. Got to be fearless. Got to be courageous. Got to take those first steps. And I know it's not always easy, right? I know. Yeah. For it's not always the most comfortable thing in the world, but you know what? It's, and I know everybody's heard this statement 1,000 times before, and people who have come on the show before and said it, but you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. it's how we all learn to grow as human beings. And, you know, and there's going to be lessons learned from anything you do like that. Like though, everything you just outlined, right? How you did what you did. Like, I bet if you, if I was to ask you now, like, what were the top like lessons learned from that entire experience? I bet you'd be like, oh my gosh, like if I hadn't done that, I would have never learned this or like even understood what the, like you could rattle it off, but you didn't know that before you did it, you know, like, you know, there was a lot of things I'm sure you learned just from that experience alone.
Oh God. Which one? Which experience?
Right.
Every single experience, right? Every single one. The radio station, the chemistry, and you know, all the people around me learn lessons too. So it's a win for everybody. But a part of the other thing is not knowing what's in your future can freak you out, and not having the maturity to understand this is part of the journey.
Right.
And also, like, there was another radio station where I got laid off, and I took it so personally. It was really? It was this podunk little place in Reno, Nevada, and made some great colleagues out of there. But one of them, I'm going to give a shout out. His name is Chris Ewing, and he's such a sweetheart. He said to me, "We all feel really bad. Believe me, we don't want you to go because now we have to do your work too." And then he said, "So it's not like we're all enjoying this." And then he said, "I've told everybody around here, and I'm going to say it again. You, a year from now, you're going to be better off than all of us." And he was right. And years later, when I saw him running the show at a whole cluster of radio stations, he said the same thing. He said, "I told you." And I'm like, "Oh my God. And you too." And he said, "Absolutely." So like we all fell forward, and don't be afraid of falling forward, because when you fall forward, you grow, and that's part of the journey, and it's beautiful. And you just can't see that when you're 22.
Yeah. Well said. Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. It's hard to see those things when you're that age, and, you know, and that's the thing that makes us who we are, is the experiences that we live and the lessons that we learn. It's just, you know, life is just a series of experiences that we're just going through. And, you know, the experience you have is different from the experience I have, and we've taken different things from them, but we've applied it to everything that we've done, you know, as we go on in life, you know. And I think one of the things too, that, that you are, you know, really, I love, like, this is why I love talking to you, because I got a feeling like if we didn't have a time limit here, you and I would probably talk for like another 2 to 3 hours just about life, business, music, you know, all the stuff, you know, that we get into.
Yep.
But I think what I love about your story is how you just continue to keep doing the things that you love. You know, you're so passionate about music and you're always still finding ways to be able to, you know, do all the things you love. I mean, you know, we talked about Tex Pros and rock and roll, but that's not the only thing that you're involved in right now. I mean, you're doing the show on Brum Radio, which is really wild. I love that. It's so cool. And you're doing this whole like road trip across America show right now with that. And I think that's really good. And that's what I love to see, that you're still like, with all the things that you've got going on, you're still living like your passion. You know, I think that's just great. You know, kudos to you.
Thank you. Well, I guess I found my niche. Mm-hmm. I'm not making any money off of it. I'm glad the rent is paid. That's fantastic. But at the same time, you know, do what you love, right?
Right.
And they say the money will follow. Money hasn't followed yet, folks. but I am definitely doing what I love. And for a while there, I put it all away when I was changing diapers and everything. That was really hard. But but I found that my identity is entwined in this. Mm-hmm. And so when you find your people, found my people here, right here. Yeah. When you find your people, you know, you kind of have to just lean into it.
Yeah, I love it. And I just showed Vicky had commented before that she says, I love that expression, fall forward. So I think that's
Vicky.
Really cool. So we do have another question from Gabe here. He said, what advice would you give to someone wanting to get into radio or entertainment?
Run. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I agree with that.
All right. I would have a few pieces of advice. Okay. I would love to pick your brain a little bit more and know specifically what you mean, but I'll give you a generic answer. And if you'd like a follow-up, Gabe, I'm happy to give it to you. Okay. To get into radio, there's a very quick story. I wanted to be a journalist. I didn't want to be a DJ. I just happened to love music, but I wanted to be a serious journalist. And I was my college news director and found that the DJs between my newscasts didn't show up. So I started spinning the records until my next newscast. And kind of, did I get a following? I don't know, but my friends were listening and they called in, and this guy, Mike, called in and said, you need to change majors because you're kind of pretty good at this. And he didn't say you suck at the news, but he may as well have. I guess it really showed. So that my passion was there. So he said, you should get a job. And I called my favorite radio station and asked for an informational interview to just explore this idea of getting into like commercial radio. They said, come on down, kid, and bring your demo tape. And I went, okay. And I went click. Because we went click.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, what goes on a demo tape? So I called a competitor, my second favorite radio station, and sat on the request line for forever till I got the jock and fibbed and said I was doing a demo tape for my college station, KCSS. And I didn't know what went on one. What do I put on a demo tape? And he told me what to put on the demo tape, went back to KCSS, created that, put together the demo tape, took it to KDJK and they listened. And again, great timing. A week later, they said, hey kid, I think you're in the right place at the right time. And I got my first radio gig. So again, timing. Okay. But to get into radio, you'd need a demo. I'll tell you very quickly, you need maybe 90 seconds of different ins and outs, like a sample of what you can do. Doesn't even have to be real. It can be fake. Mm-hmm. And then for entertainment, you would do a video version of the same exact thing. And once again, it can be fake because whoever the casting person is or the producer is, they want to see who you are, what you're all about, and what you'll bring to the project. They don't really care if, it's impressive if you were with ABC News or CNN,
right?
Someone like that. But if you're not going for that job first time out, right? You're going for Podunky Dunk. And in order to get a job with Podunky Dunk, you just have to come up with something to show them what you're all about. In fact, Chris, What you're doing right here, this could be made into a demo easily.
That's very true. You're right. You're right. And I know Gabe does a lot of like live streaming on LinkedIn. So Gabe, there you go. You've already got a lot of content there. I would just do what Chris said. Cut, make a 90-second reel.
Yeah. And start with the very best stuff because people will tune out like this. True. So it's almost like bait, like your best thing first,
right?
And then your second best thing second, and don't make anything too long and don't have such a big head that you think someone's going to be watching 4 and 5 minutes of your video. Cause they won't. Right.
That's true. That is very, very true. Yeah. They do not. They just put the fire and the heat up front.
Yep. Exactly. Sure. Exactly. These are easy questions. You want to ask me some hard questions? These are fun.
These are fun. I know. I'm like, once again, we could be on forever and ever and ever talking about this.
For sure.
Yeah, and I feel like there's like even a ton more things I didn't even get a chance to ask you. But see, this is why I said to you, like, I like a free flowing conversation. Like that's how these go. And that's where I feel like the best moments, you know, come out and what makes it more interesting for, you know, I think us, and then also for the people listening, it's just, you know, it's two people chatting about the things that they love doing. And I love doing this. And that's why I'm glad I got you on here, because it's like a
real
kindred spirit for sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely going to have to do a part two of this for sure.
All right.
It has to happen because there's about a billion rock and roll stories I want to ask you. And see, this is all the stuff that's going into the book. That's why you got to pick the book back up again, because I want to read all the behind the scenes stuff. That's what I want to hear. That's the good stuff.
The juicy stuff.
That's the juicy stuff.
The heroin and right, sexual stuff.
All the stuff. Well, all the
dirty stuff.
Backstage Hollywood sleaze. Like,
well, that's third person. That's where I was in the room where it happened. I always kept my nose clean.
That's okay.
I'm proud to say I never cheated. I look back mm-hmm. on some people that I would consider like cheating,
right,
to get to the top bar, and I think to myself, God, if I had been a liar and a cheater and a stealer and, you know, sucked up to some of these executives, I'd be very rich and famous. But you know what? I sleep well at night. I'm still a good girl at heart, and if this is where I'm going to be, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think it's great, because it's like, you know, not all everybody survives the hard tales of rock and roll. So, you know, it's nice to come out the other side of that. And yeah, and you got some great stories to tell too. So
yeah, thank you very much. That's not to say though that there isn't a tough side
of
ever being a broadcaster. That, like Gabe was alluding to, you know, you've got your tricky artists who were kind of like they're in a bubble world, you know. In a way, I don't blame them, because there's so many people hinging on these people with a paycheck, you know. They're all relying on this paycheck that they'll do and say whatever it takes, and then suddenly a lot of these artists are in their own little world and think their stuff doesn't stink and whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, authenticity and being genuine, those are buzzwords mm-hmm. in this day and age. Oh, I want to asterisk right there. I want to go off on something in just a second, but being genuine and being sincere, that is really what it's all about. Just be a good person, just be a good human. But one of the things that just chaps my hide in entertainment, this is for you, Gabe, is the fact that there is this bacterial, icky, festering, ugly, faux authenticity that's out there, where people like are doing their impersonation of Tony Robbins and selling you their course.
Right.
And that just disgusts me. It grosses me out. And it's certainly not anything new. I just think we're seeing it's incredibly prevalent, that there's so many life coaches that are.
There's a lot of snake oil.
There's a lot of snake oil. And it's nothing new. I know that, but I'm just tired of it. And then I'm tired. What I really don't like is the charlatans who are catching on to buzzwords like authenticity and trying to like sell that when it's anything but. That's frustrating to me.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's very frustrating. And I think that it's something that I think it comes along with almost anything. Anytime you have an explosion of whatever technology community, there's always going to be the, hey, how do we make a quick buck out of it? And I think that, going what we've just gone through over the last, that we're still going through over the last 2 years, definitely created an opportunity for people to take advantage of those who are in different positions and finding themselves in new places in life that they didn't expect. And so there's always going to be those segments of the population that are like parasites and will, take advantage of that. But
100%.
It's just why you just got to have your head on your shoulders and question everything. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. Don't just be so eager to plunk down some dollars.
And again, do your research on someone who wants to sell you a course. Look really into them. How long have they been at it? Are they just getting their stuff from some masterclass? Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, very, very, very true. And Victor's saying, yeah, preach on. I hate signing up for those things and continuously having snake oil salespeople trying to sell you their wares. Exactly. Yeah, it is. It is very, very annoying. And yeah, you make a great point there. So before we wrap it up, so I just want to bring it back real quick because I do want to end on a musical note here.
Yeah, yeah.
So before we go into and wrap this up, so a couple quick questions for you. So, and I know you and I started sort of talking about this, I think, in a back channel chat one time, but what is your favorite music venue that you've been to? Live music venue, like, or a couple? I mean, it could be a couple of them. It doesn't have to be the ultimate one, but I know you and I started chatting about this briefly, like on some back channel chat somewhere, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have to give you just one?
No, you can give me more than one.
Okay. Okay. This is going to date me, but many years ago, when Midnight Oil was still very popular, I love that band, and they are back now because, with climate change and everything, this is like Peter Garrett's like territory. He was preaching this stuff way back in the day.
Yes, he was.
So, but anyway, the Blue Sky Mining Tour, which I think would have been in the early 90s, I think. They played at the Greek amphitheater in Berkeley, California.
Oh.
And it was a sold out show, and I went with my sister, and it was general admission, but they kind of had this rope and you couldn't go in. I wasn't in the music industry obviously then. And so no special treatment, but we were standing with all these other people, and they were going to open up this area, and people were just free for all, grab your spot. And like any other outdoor amphitheater, there's so many like that, right? But it was under the stars, and it was a gorgeous night. It was a particularly gorgeous, gorgeous night. And I'm tiny, or at least I used to be. So I was standing at the front of the thing, and I took the blanket from my sister. And when they opened up that perimeter rope, I took the blanket and I chucked it as far as I could. And like magic, it landed like in the middle, right? And so kind of claimed my spot. And then I ran to it as fast as I could. And people were kind enough to kind of like sit around the blanket that I had chucked there.
Right.
So my sister and I get there. We are like middle center. It's fantastic. Weather is great. Midnight Oil comes out and does their set. And the whole, 10,000 people that were there that night, they were all huge fans. And in unison, people are just like singing together, complete strangers. And it was a beautiful, beautiful night. And years later, when I got to meet Peter Garrett, I said to him, I've never been able to tell anyone this before. And he's looking at me like, oh God, what is she going to say? And I said, yours is the best concert I've ever seen. And I told him when that was. And this is like a long time later, right?
Right.
And he said, oh my gosh, I remember that night. I remember that night. That's only happened a few times. That was really magical. So that's a long way of saying that the Greek Amphitheater in Berkeley, California is very magical for forever, always will be. And then it's not there anymore, unfortunately, but CBGB's is so gross as it was.
Yep.
It's a really special, magical place.
It really was. it was disgusting, but it was also magical.
It really was. And there just hasn't been anything like that anywhere else. I wish they had stripped it. I heard that they had taken the toilet and they were going to open a CBGB in Vegas, and they never did that.
Yeah, I heard that they did they were supposed to do something like that, but I don't think it ever happened.
Nah.
Yeah, it's You can't, I don't know. It's not the same. It's just that that's it. It existed there. And that was where, and now that it's like, it just, it's gone. As far as I'm concerned, it's gone. It's just, you know, there's pictures, there's videos. I'd rather that than like, actually, here's the Vegas version of CB. It's like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
it's not the same. It's not the same.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure I'll think of another fantastic venue when we wrap this up. But
yeah,
but those two, those also.
No, that's good. I like that. Those are good. I like the Midnight Oil story. That's very cool. I've never been to the Greek Amphitheater there. It's a venue I've heard about a lot.
Have you?
I've heard about it, and I know that some bands have released things from there and all that, but yeah, I've never physically been there, so that's definitely a place I'd love to see a show. It's still there, right? They didn't take that down, or okay,
nope.
Because I know it's like some of these sheds and stuff. They're like some of them get taken down and rebuilt or moved or whatever. So
no, thankfully that one's been there for a very very long time. And I think, luckily, I could be wrong about this, but I think that the architect Julia Morgan might have had something to do with the backside of it. And if that's the case, then that's not going to go anywhere, because she's just like a time honored, like the top female architect of all time. Mm. She's the female Frank Lloyd Wright.
Wow.
So I don't think that'll change.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. And like I said, I think I could spend another hour with you talking about music. So we'll shelve that. We're gonna do a part two to this for sure, and we'll do more music based stuff, because I've got a bunch of other things I wanted to ask you that I didn't even get a chance to. So that's okay. It's good.
It absolutely, it
gives us a reason to do this again. So so before we wrap it up, why don't you share some of the places that people can connect with you? I've been flashing the website up for those that have been watching us live, and for those that are watching the replay, you'll see the website coming up to Chris's actual personal website, and then also textprosandrockandroll.com. And all these links will be in the show notes. But Chris, why don't you go ahead and let everybody else know where they can get a hold of you?
Thank you so much, Chris. Your audience is awesome. Those were great questions too, everybody. So thank you very much. And thanks for the comments as well. So the podcast drops on Tuesdays, Text Pros from Rock and Roll. And that was our website as well. You can find us on all the major platforms. We're also on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio. And we are actually looking for other public radio stations around the United States to give our material to. We're not looking for a buck here at all. If anything, we'll try to hopefully get ourselves some grant money, which we will then share with radio stations. So in reality, it would almost behoove public radio stations to pick us up, because that's only going to help us go after some grant money for them. Okay. So KLBP Long Beach Public Radio. You can also hear us on the TuneIn app for KLBP. Brum Radio, as you said, every Monday night at, what is it? It is 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which I think is like, I don't know, 8 p.m. your time, maybe?
I think so. Yeah, I think we're on the Greenwich Mean Time thing. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Please look it up. It's also on demand on the Brum website.
Yes.
But that's Road Trip USA, and we are taking a virtual road trip. We started in New England. We're going to go all the way to the West Coast, and then who knows, we may go back. But if you know of any fantastic indie artists, I am still in the Midwest. And then we've got all west of the Rockies to do. So I am taking requests from anybody who's got a friend who's an indie band. We'll give it a whirl, and you might hear it on there. And then you can reach me directly at either my Instagram, which is at Chris Kosach. That's my personal page, but you're going to have to put up with kids and puppies and stuff like that. Or maybe more importantly, I would be really grateful if you would follow us on Instagram, which is at Text Pros Rock and Roll. It's an N, not an ampersand. And I respond to everything personally there. So thanks, Victor.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Victor lives in Spain, so I think he's on the same time as that. So yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But so that's how to reach me. I hope to hear from people.
Yeah, so just what Victor is saying here, for those of you listening, if it's 11 o'clock in the UK, it's 6 p.m. on the East Coast. So for those of you listening in, so definitely check out Brum Radio. It is very cool. I've heard it. I'm really enjoying your road trip series there. I think it's really cool. So, and I, every time you post like on Twitter, like, hey, I'm looking for band suggestions, I'm always trying to like jump in with like a couple like you know, little cool suggestions. Although it's hard to get anything that you haven't heard already. So I'm always like, oh, what?
That's maybe? Not true.
I feel like you've heard so many things. So it's always like, I'm like, oh, what hasn't Chris heard that I can send her that she would find interesting?
No, you've turned me on to some great stuff. So keep it coming, brother. You're doing great. Right. And like I say, I'm on the Great Lakes States right now. So if you have one, that's what's coming up in another week or so.
Nice. Some eerie Pennsylvania garage rock.
That would be great. There you go. Or some Madison, Wisconsin. That's a big music hub. Chicago. Oh,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, a lot of good rock and roll coming out of there.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much once again for hanging out with all of us today. Really appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time. And we'll definitely be doing a part two to this. For sure. Absolutely. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much. This was a blast.
No, you are so welcome. Once again, just want to thank everybody for listening to another episode of the Rocket Life podcast. Please hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening to this. And also don't forget, you can watch the video version of this interview over on the Rocket Growth Agency YouTube channel. Just use the link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to rock it.